You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
For KGYM, another week of DHing. Welcome into the gym class. Spencer Wagon, Mark Dukes with you for the next hour here, 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you today. Another hoops-heavy show. Spent the last hour dropping a whole bunch of knowledge on you when it comes to hoops on Spencer on Sports, and we're going to do much of the same here for the next hour on KGYM, again, 319-366-1600. We appreciate your interaction all afternoon long. Also have a chance to win today. You'll want to be near your phones at some point today, and actually all throughout the week, we have a chance to win tickets to see George Thorogood and the Destroyers. They're coming to Cedar Rapids on May 3rd at the Paramount Theater. And we've got a pair of tickets to give away all this week during the 3 o'clock hour, so be listening for your cue to call in, and good luck dialing this afternoon. Snowy Monday in eastern Iowa after a 65-degree Saturday. Welcome to spring in Iowa. Mark, how are you?
Good. Didn't really appreciate waking up to what I saw this morning, and I know you didn't either. You told me your own story.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a measurement of what we had. I know the TV meteorologist and the National Weather Service said 4 to 5 inches, maybe. There was about that much on my car this morning. So brushing that off, the thick, wet, heavy stuff just cakes on your broom. Your gloves are soaking. Such is life.
It could be worse than what happened in Winterset.
Yeah.
Over the weekend. And, Winterset's boys basketball team plays Marion tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
After that tragedy that hit Winterset, F4 tornadoes. Mm-hmm. Feel for the folks up there. But it makes the snow mild in comparison.
Yeah, I mentioned that at the top of my show, Spencer on Sports. There's a number of different resources on the Red Cross, Salvation Army. There's some different GoFundMe pages. We're not going to spend time listing them all off for you, but you could find that information if you're so inclined. EF4, that's the second strongest tornado there is, and 7 people losing their lives as part of that. We sit here complaining about snow. We kind of live in our own little bubble here where we just, focus on sports, but you got to be conscious of what's happening in our state, and certainly feeling for those people. I know Vinton got hit by what they believe is a tornado. I think it was confirmed. So hoping for good things for the people impacted by that storm, and just praying for safekeeping for everyone involved with the tragedy this weekend. So much more going on in the world than just sports, but we hope to be that escape for anybody who might be impacted by that this weekend. But where do we even start, Mark? This is tough here. You and I were talking about this in our pre-show meeting or pre-show phone call earlier today about where do we start? And I think we settled on the Big Ten tournament champion Iowa women, capping off a great weekend of basketball for Lisa Bluter and company.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of talk about the Iowa men's game against Illinois last night and where Iowa lands in the field, and we'll go over that. And just out today, some of the not really racial, but derogatory comments from at least one Illinois fan, and we'll get to that. Lots of chew on there, but I thought it was just absolutely right to talk a bit about the Iowa women winning the conference tournament, beating Indiana for the third time this year, and first time I believe ever it has won the conference tournament and at least a share of the league regular season title.
Yeah, just a great performance from Iowa, and really, in all three games. You go back to Northwestern on Friday night, was able to take that one in after I got home from the station, and then the Nebraska win on Saturday, and then that game yesterday afternoon after they took care of business against Indiana. a slow start. It seemed like in all three games. I think especially against Northwestern, you go from playing in Carver Hawkeye Arena to going to the big lights, the big stage of an NBA arena. It takes a little bit of an adjustment. It's a team that has your number, or at least had your number a little bit this year, beating you in Iowa City, and then you won in overtime in Evanston with Northwestern. You saw them pull away in that game, get the win on Friday. They got the win Saturday. It really was in convincing fashion. Nebraska was close for a little bit in that contest, but Caitlin Clark did her thing. Monica Sinano did her thing on Saturday, using a big third quarter to pull away in that one. And then yesterday, just a grind. You knew Indiana, they had just upset Ohio State. They knew what you did to them, especially in Bloomington, blowing them out, coming back from down 10, 20 plus in Iowa City to steal that one at Carver. They wanted that championship. It was in their own backyard, playing in Indianapolis, but Iowa able to get it done. And it wasn't Caitlin Clark yesterday. She had a good day, 18 points. She was 6 of 17 from the floor. So not a great shooting day, but it was Sinano yesterday. 30 and 10, 30 points, 10 rebounds, just owned the paint and did what she does, just made it look easy down low. And Indiana had no answer, and that was the difference in the game.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark, outstanding player in the tournament, but it just as well could have been Sinano.
Mm-hmm.
She had a terrific tournament. They both did. It's a terrific 1-2 combination, and Kate Martin is playing very well.
Mm-hmm.
McKenna Warnock is certainly capable. Gabby Marshall playing excellent defense. This team has a lot of chemistry. And it'll be interesting to see where it lands in the NCAA tournament. I think it's going to be able to host a couple games. Charlie Krim from ESPN, I believe, has the Hawkeyes on the 3 line, which would mean the Hawkeyes will host a couple of games. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, Charlie Krim from ESPN, Iowa as a number 3 seed. Hosting Southern Illinois, the 14. Of course, the Missouri Valley Tournament, I believe, is this week yet. But then you have Ole Miss and Gonzaga, at least according to his projections right now. Certainly still some shuffling to be done. But that's big, getting to play on your home court. Of course, nothing's guaranteed on your home court, but still, you saw what happened against Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
and the crowd, a sellout crowd, certainly had gave a lot of help to the Hawkeyes in that one, but to see how far they've come after kind of a rough stretch at beginning or toward the middle of the season, dealt with some injuries, dealt with some COVID issues, did not play with McKenna Warnock, who's really been kind of an X factor for the team. They're able to get it rolling, get the ball rolling here, get that regular season shared championship, and then get the win over Indiana, get the Big Ten tournament championship. They're playing their best to use the cliche, whatever you want to call it, they're playing their best basketball when they need to be playing their best basketball, and that's right now. And, they can definitely make a run.
And they're getting a lot of practice and learning how to cut down nets properly.
This is true. This is true, yeah. Cut from the top, not the bottom, right?
Yes.
I think that was the gripe after the Michigan game. They wanted to cut them down and ended up cutting from the bottom, but they got it and just really, really playing well. And that's great to see with the Hawkeyes and getting that Big Ten Tournament Championship, like you said, the first time they've won at least share of the regular season and the Big Ten Tournament title in the same season. And they got the job done, taking down Indiana 74-67 in the championship game. So Iowa with that big win in the women's side of things. And actually, I mentioned this on my show too. They moved up 4 spots in this week's AP Top 25. 2 top 10 ranked teams in the state of Iowa when it comes to college women's basketball, with Iowa State at number 10, too. So Iowa at number 8, Iowa State number 10 in the top 25.
Yeah, that's quite incredible. And, Iowa State's going to host some games, too, I have to believe. But I tweeted this out not long ago, and to appreciate basketball at the major college level And there's been some good stories in the other divisions and junior college ranks and whatnot. But as far as major college basketball goes this year, in the regular season, on the women's side, Iowa State 25-5, mm-hmm. Iowa 23-7, UNI 20-9, Drake 17-12. Now, on the men's side, Drake 24-10, lost that game to Loyola in the Missouri Valley Conference Championship, but still 24-10. Iowa 22-9, Iowa State 20-11, UNI 19-9. Mm-hmm. That's pretty impressive for the state of Iowa.
It definitely is. for one state to have that many basketball teams that have had 20-plus wins, pretty much all of them, at least at some point, have been in the conversation for postseason play. It just depends on where you're at. Maybe the Drake women might be the only exception there.
Right.
But it's awesome to see, number one. Number two, it's not just one program. It's all of these schools that are having great seasons in basketball. And it really says, you know, I know, you know, these teams aren't totally made up of players from the state of Iowa.
A lot of them, yeah.
But a lot of them are. And it shows the talent level that this state has. You look at a UNI and all the great players that they have with the men's side of things. And some great talent with Drake, with like a Garrett Sturts and a Tucker DeVries. Despite their loss, they'll be playing probably in the NIT, and we'll get to that here coming up later on in the show. But it's so great to see, and it makes you appreciate what you have when, you know, sometimes you don't have the greatest season. You know, you can look back and say, well, we've done it once, we could do it again, right?
Yeah, and a lot of these teams led by state of Iowa players. Caitlin Clark, West Des Moines Valley. Ashley Jones, Iowa City. AJ Green, Cedar Falls,
yep,
for UNI. And you mentioned the Drake kids.
Jordan Bohannon, Lindmar.
Exactly.
Patrick McCaffrey, Iowa City West.
Yeah.
Connor McCaffrey.
We play some basketball in this state.
Yeah, we certainly do. So it's been a great season. The role goes on here for the Iowa women if they get the victory over Indiana in the championship game. Iowa State women, I mentioned them briefly on Spencer on Sports. They won their finale over West Virginia. Mark, as you mentioned, 25-5 for the Cyclone women, 14-4 in the Big 12. That's actually a record for Big 12 wins for the Cyclone women. So that's huge in its own right there.
Yeah.
Came pretty close to getting at least a share of the conference title. Baylor's just too good. And Iowa State getting the 2 seed in the Big 12 tournament for the women's side of things. That goes on later this week. They'll play Friday evening in the quarterfinals. So, been a good year for women's basketball, been a good year for men's basketball, and there's still more to come.
Absolutely, and it comes with the Big 10 men's tournament that we can segue into. Iowa getting the 5th seed in the tournament. And on the text line, the texter wondered, thought if Iowa tied with Ohio State, Iowa would get that 4 seed. Well, tied with Rutgers, too.
Right.
And
yes,
Rutgers holds the tiebreaker over Iowa. So that's why Iowa landed in the 5th seed and could have got that double bye with a win last night. Could have got a double bye had it not had a clunker at Rutgers earlier in the year.
This is true.
But nevertheless, a 5 seed for Iowa, tied for 4th in the league. 22-9 overall. That's pretty good.
It is. And we've been saying that. And, you know, again, I go back to, you know, and just further proves why we should use preseason projections as a basis. Maybe like a baseline of we talk about this in college football, right? Like you look
it's
at
like the
team,
August AP football
right,
poll,
right? The preseason AP top 25, where you have, aside from, like, you know, Alabama at number one, and like I don't know who at number two, maybe Georgia at number two, or maybe flip flop this year. The rest of the top 25 are like, okay, you know, you like this year you had what, Clemson was number two, I think. You had Auburn, always seems to make their way in the top. Texas, all these teams that just for whatever reason, they're overhyped and they don't execute. They don't perform the way they're expected to. And in this case, obviously, you have, you know, teams that overplay where they're supposed to be. Maybe they're better than people thought. Maybe they gelled quicker than people thought. So maybe we should just use the preseason predictions as a baseline. But the Hawkeyes as the number 5 after being projected 9th, 10th, that kind of window, maybe 8th. Certainly good. Wish it could have been a double bye, obviously, if you're an Iowa fan. But single bye is still pretty good. You have a pretty good path here, although you and I were talking, and we'll get into this more as the week goes on. With our guests and such, it could really go a lot of different ways. I feel like just the kind of way the end of this Big Ten season has played out, I could see Iowa making a run, but it depends on how the other team is playing. I think Iowa is poised to make a run. I think they will win a couple games in the Big Ten tournament, but the teams around them, the potential matchups are kind of intriguing, especially considering what happened in Madison yesterday. Considering the previous matchup between Iowa and Rutgers, that potential matchup is there. There's a lot of things that that could play in and a lot of different ways this could play out.
Yeah, Iowa's going to face the winner of the Nebraska-Northwestern game, and Nebraska knocking off Wisconsin, denying the Badgers sole possession of a conference championship. Nebraska's won, what, 4 in a row?
3.
3 in a row?
3 in a row, 2 of them over top 25 teams.
Northwestern's going to get its best player back. So that's the first round game. Should you get past that, then you have Rutgers. And I think Iowa fully capable of beating Rutgers. But as a result of Illinois' 74-72 win last night, Illinois is elevated to the number one line, and therefore on Iowa's side of the bracket. Good, bad, and different, we shall see. Iowa first has to take care of business in those first two rounds, but that was really a gettable game last night, wasn't it?
It was. You know, you look at the 15-point lead in that first half. I know the first half, second half, obviously, but missed opportunity to really put the dagger in. Not you know, game wasn't going to be completely over at that point, but if you're able to extend that lead out and keep Illinois in the hole, so to speak, keep the lead out of reach, keep the game out of reach, keep them from getting momentum into that second half, like they did with the 9-0 run they went on going into halftime, I think it comes out differently. Yeah. Another thing I will say, free throws matter. You got to make your free throws when you're given the opportunity, because 6-for-16 from the line in the half is not going to cut it.
No, and 10 out of 22 in the game, and missed some crucial free throws down the stretch. Love the Murray kids, but they missed 5 out of 6.
Yeah.
When each was fouled in the act of a 3-point shot.
Right.
And Perkins missed one that was crucial. It just was totally uncharacteristic of the Iowa team, which is typically a pretty good free throw shooting outfit, but 10 out of 12 from the free throw line. I know a lot of people out there complaining about the officiating, complaining about Coburn getting away with murder. Just stop.
Walking all over the place.
Yeah, okay. It's fine. But your team missed 12 out of 22 free throws.
Right.
And you make 17 or 18 out of 22, and you're going to win the ball game. Seems like every game people are complaining about the officials rather than complaining about the execution of their own team. And yeah, I don't think it was great. I didn't think the officiating was great, but I don't want to blame the officials. And then there was the aspect of at least one Illinois fan tossing verbal insults at Chris Murray, and I know his father, Kenyon, on his Twitter feed was pretty specific about what was said, and it's not good. It wasn't good.
No.
Kenyon basically said, go ahead and criticize the play of my sons, but don't throw that And it's going to tarnish the whole Illinois fan base,
right?
Much as it may have tarnished the Iowa wrestling fan base,
right?
Mm-hmm. When there was that incident against Wisconsin,
right?
And Kenyon, I know you listen to the show every now and then. If you want to weigh in, give us a call 366-1600. And Kenyon reached out to both. He said he reached out to the administrations of both Iowa and Illinois. Mm-hmm. Over the incident, and I would do that. You'd have to hold me back if I was the father, and my son was subjected to that.
Yeah, you can read the tweet. It's all over Twitter. Tom Caker was the first person I saw who retweeted it, but others have as well. Basically, Chris was told to go blanking, kill yourself, and you blanking suck were the words, according to Kenyon's tweet on the subject. No room in that anywhere.
No.
And I know he was not the first player. Someone else brought up EJ Liddell from Ohio State, who was the recipient of some choice words from the Illinois fan base as well. I don't know if it's the same person, but it's got to get dealt with. And like you said, it's going to tarnish the entire fan base. I'm sure there were plenty of perfectly normal Illinois fans just enjoying what turned out to be a great college basketball game last night. For Iowa fans, you know, you're ticked it didn't go your way. You're upset, but you know it was a great way to cap the Big Ten season. That's for sure.
There's no place in it to get personal like that, and that not only goes for Illinois, but it goes for Iowa, and it goes for any other fan base. And I do think it's probably if it's one person. Or a few people, it's a very small majority, minority of the crowd that is guilty. But look, it just takes one for us to talk about it.
Right.
For it to be a story.
And I'm not sure, I haven't kept up with that story too much, but it sounded like that there might be someone who knows who said it, but I don't know officially. But thank you, 8186, by the way, in the text line, bringing up EJ Liddell, yeah. Too. EJ Liddell actually put out a full, like, three-tweet statement about what it was, saying, I have no ill will against you. If you're going to come at me, like, you know, you can criticize my play, but don't threaten me. Don't call me names. Don't say I should do what, you know, I should go kill myself or that I'm, you know, you could saying you're bad, saying you suck. I mean, I hate to make, I'm not trying to make excuses for this because there's no excuses for it. But, you know, I mean, saying that, you stink, you suck. Like that's one thing, but when it escalates to, you know, attacking family, attacking the person, attacking skin color, attacking whatever, you know. Again, not trying to make excuses for saying negative things toward people. We can't all be perfect, you know. We've all had those moments at games or in our living rooms where we're mad at a call, we're mad at somebody not making a play, but you know, we can't go out and say that to the person. We can't go send them a direct message on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or whatever and do that. We can't do it.
It's one of those things where, you know, I've always subscribed to being on the air not to say anything that I wouldn't say to someone's face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is so very true of fans, who, by the way, probably have never strapped on a jersey or dribbled a basketball at the major college level to understand how difficult it is and what kind of a limelight these players are in. Now, if the fan would have said, nice shot, Chris, at the end of the game, which, by the way, is a great look.
Yeah, it was.
I'd give him that look anytime.
Yeah, just didn't go the way he wanted.
Potential game winner. That'd be one thing. But to say what allegedly was said, no place for it.
Matt in Fairfax, thanks for texting in at 366-1600. He says, one of these times, the out-of-control fans is going to get dealt with by a player. It's going to get ugly. It's a game. Some, quote, fans, unquote, are out of control. And, yes, sadly, that is...
Hope not, but it could be true.
You hope not, but it could go that way. You hope not, but it could go that way. You go with, you look at the Malice in the Palace, mm-hmm. all the way back when. Pistons. Is it Pistons Pacers?
That sounds right.
2004? That was a long time ago. 2004, 2003? I'm old. I remember the next day, I think, was the Iowa-Wisconsin game that year. That's the only
one. Well, it's one thing that, I think his first name was Robin, who was notorious for going around to different arenas and berating players and never in this fashion, where he's using the F word and on and on, but he would, you're horrible, LeBron, and sort of thing. I think the players got used to that.
Right.
And wore it as a badge of honor that Robin, I'm sorry, I can't remember his last name, but at any rate.
We'll continue this discussion on the other side of the break here. We'll talk more about Iowa's loss to Illinois, your comments about that, the comments made by the fans, always welcome at 319-366-1600. We'll talk more about bracketology, too, and get to Missouri Valley, college wrestling, and plenty more to come here on Monday edition of the Gym Class. Mark, you've got Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update for us.
I do indeed. Boys State basketball tournament going on right now. Northwind with a healthy lead in the second half, 54-15 over North Mahaska in a 1A opener. Earlier winners were Lake Mills for the first time in its school history and Grandview Christian on a free throw. The foul called with 0.2 seconds left in the game. That decided that game.
Oof. Yikes.
Kirkwood women's basketball team is off to the National Junior College Tournament after a 65-44 victory over Iowa Western yesterday. Big 12 news, Isaiah Brockington was named the newcomer of the year and first team All Big 12. Tyrese Hunter, who you covered over there in Racine when you were in Wisconsin, named freshman of the year. Scott Drew of Baylor, your coach of the year. And finally, Cedar Rapidian and Landon Castle, sixth place in the Las Vegas Xfinity race on Saturday, tying his career best.
Very nice. Yeah, had a chance to see Tyrese Hunter, my last boys basketball game for my previous employer, involved Mr. Hunter and his St. Catharines Angels.
Mm.
State what? Champions last year.
E-mules?
Angels.
Oh, Angels.
Angels. Yes, okay. Yes. Yes. So, very good player, and he had, 13 assists in the loss on Saturday to Baylor, so he's got a bright future ahead of him for sure. At 3:32, we got to do our giveaway here. As I mentioned at the top of the show, if you're just tuning in, we are giving away tickets to see George Thorogood and the Destroyers. They are coming to Cedar Rapids Paramount Theater on Tuesday, May 3rd. It is the 2022 Good to Be Bad Tour, 45 Years of Rock, coming to Cedar Rapids in early May. We got pairs of tickets to give away all week long. So let's take caller number 6 right now at 319-366-1600. Talk to Ben. He'll get you the info, or get you hooked up, I should say, with those tickets. And we'll reveal our winner after the break right here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we'll have some more sunshine this afternoon. It is going to still be chilly and breezy. Temperatures will be climbing up to a high just around 30. Later on tonight, mostly clear skies will drop down to a low around 10. Then tomorrow will be mostly sunny and warmer. Temperatures will be climbing up to a high near 40 degrees. That should melt some snow away, but some cooler air comes back in for Wednesday. Temperatures are back in the 30s and watching the possibility of more snow by Thursday. That's your latest Iowa News Now weather first forecast.
Bet on more than the final score with One Game Parlay at BetMGM. One Game Parlay is an exciting feature designed to help you make selections within a single game from over 400 bet types, including team and player props. Log in to your BetMGM account and create your best parlay before the game starts. New to BetMGM? Sign up today and make your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 with bonus code HANSON, H-A-N-S-O-N. Plus, you'll earn BetMGM rewards points that can be redeemed for online bonuses or converted into comps for rooms, restaurants, and more at over 20 MGM resorts nationwide. Try One Game Parlay today. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Iowa only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
You like word games, right? Okay, Lynn County REC has one for you. This is a two-word phrase. There are four things. It must do one of these things, but can't harm the other three. Still with me? Okay. This two-word phrase has to, one, save consumers money, two, benefit the environment, three, improve community quality of life, and four, make the energy grid more resilient. Do you know this two-word phrase? The phrase you were looking for is beneficial electrification. Ever heard of it? You're going to, because it might be the biggest win-win-win ever. It means using electricity to power more things, which can cost you less money, helps the environment, and your community. A good example is an electric car, and that's only the beginning. Linn County REC is excited about the possibilities of beneficial electrification and how it will help its members, the community, and the environment. Learn more about beneficial electrification at linncountyrec.com.
As a business person, you know that security is always a concern, but now it can be easily integrated into your computer network. Network Computer Solutions now offers turnkey security systems designed and built for business. From cameras and entry systems to secure video storage, NCS makes it easy for you to keep an eye on your business. NCS knows business networks, and they know how to utilize networks to keep your business safe. Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
336, welcome back to the gym class here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City, on the stream, on the app, on your smart speaker. Spencer and Mark with you here for a Monday afternoon. Congratulations to Marcy from Cedar Rapids, winner of a pair of tickets to see George Thorogood and the Destroyers coming to Cedar Rapids at the Paramount Theater on Tuesday, May 3rd. Plenty more chances to win. In fact, a pair each day for the rest of the week through Friday afternoon. Keep listening right here on KGYM for those chances to win. Todd and Alex have a chance to win tickets to a different show as well. We'll tell you about that before we get out of here for today. 319-366-1600. We've been chatting about basketball, and we'll get to some wrestling coming up here before we step out of here for today. But, Mark, we were talking about the Iowa-Illinois game last night, Hawkeyes falling 74-72. We had been discussing the comments made by a fan or fans from the Illinois fan base towards the Murray twins, Chris and Keegan, and Kenyon's response on Twitter. And I got some good discussion, some good chatter on the text line about that here for today. There's not much more you could say other than, you know, hopefully the person is held accountable, and hopefully that we'll be able to put a stop to this. But unfortunately, I say that saying, well, hope we could put a stop to this and this won't happen again. I feel like that's wishful thinking.
It apparently happened at the Division III level, according to 1074 on the text line. The Cornell Rams, who were involved in the NCAA regional tournament, according to the texter, were subject to the same kind of profanity-laced attack in the D3 tournament Friday at Washington U in St. Louis. Hmm. They were even met in the hallway by about 30 fans on the way to the locker room.
Wow, I was not aware of that.
What precipitated that?
If you have more details in that 1074, please share them with us. And if you have any info about the investigation into that.
What's wrong with people?
I don't know. Just beyond, you know, comprehension how bold and brazen people can be about something that happened in a game or the opposing team, the members of the opposing team. It's a game.
I get it on Twitter and Facebook because you're largely anonymous. The person
still doesn't make it right.
You know, it doesn't make it right. I mean, the text line could be the same way.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, you're identified on our text line by your phone number.
We do have that.
So, yeah, we could trace you. But, if you have any more details on that 1074, let me know, because that's, you don't want to see that. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, head coach at Wash U is former co-coach Pat Yuckum.
Oh.
Who was at UW Oshkosh, my alma mater. I'm not saying he has anything to do with it, but if you know, if there's someone who would know Cornell pretty well from his days at Co with the Cohawks, it would be head coach at Wash U. But
I'll be darned.
I don't know.
1972, blaming Courtney Green, the official, last night. In so many words, I should say.
Yes. We can't read one of those words on the air. We'll all get fired. But you mentioned the officiating, and you know, you can't blame the ref. You have to execute. You can't let poor officiating or poor calls impact the game. You have to find a way to counteract that if such a thing exists in the game. I'm not saying Courtney Green didn't impact the game with some of the calls that were made, but you have to find a way to counteract that. The Iowa women did that this weekend. They were every opponent they faced, from Northwestern, Nebraska, Indiana. Those teams were trying to get Caitlin Clark and Monica Sinano out of the game. And Clark and Sinano went to work. The law firm went to work and counteracted some of the really poor calls, especially in yesterday's game against Indiana. You saw, actually all three offensive fouls against Caitlin Clark were totally questionable. Maybe two of the three, but you got to find a way to counteract that with your play on the court. And you can't run and say, oh, the ref screwed us.
Yeah.
In the end. You're never going to hear Fran McCaffrey say that. I mean, well, I shouldn't.
But
when it comes down to it, like, all these pieces of the pie, you know, like they come together to create the game story, right? Like, you can't just say, like, it's cut and dry. The refs are the reason we lost that game. I think free throws were a reason they lost the game. I think Illinois going on a 9-0 run going into halftime was a big story in that game. Like we talked about when we started talking about what happened last night. Any perceived calls or no calls at the time, you know, that's part of the game flow, right? Like,
it's an easy narrative for fans to take. It's an easy out. Officials, yeah, we can say they were not very good.
Yeah.
But neither was Iowa's free throw shooting, as you said. And the large portion of fans have never put on the stripes and can appreciate how difficult it may be to call a game. And one of our previous texters said every fan's an expert with slow motion replay. That's a big part of it, too. We at home can watch plays
slow it
that
down.
They look at in real time.
Right.
Now, they might review them,
right?
But I just think it's a lazy narrative to take when your team loses.
Right. David and Hudson making the point I just made. I don't want to hear anything about the officiating. Game was lost at the free throw line, bottom line. Absolutely. That's what I said. Free throws matter. 6 of 16 in the half, 10 of 22 for the game. It's unacceptable.
Here's the box score.
Yeah.
Total fouls, Illinois 19, Iowa 19. Even.
Even. Dead even. Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Should Illinois have had 5 or 6 more?
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know.
That's true. I don't know. It's all about how you perceived it. And then Leo in Iowa City chiming in. Thanks, Leo. He was at the game last night, the Iowa game in Champaign. A few Illinois fans around him who had some choice words for Fran and his family and Jordan Bohannon.
Sounds like it's more than one person in the Orange Crush crowd.
Yes. Yes. And that makes it harder to find who did it. But will Illinois respond? Will they try to track down those who did it? You'd hope so, but I don't know.
6429 said the Illinois fans, to be specific, the Orange Crush, have a reputation for things like this.
They do. We talked about E.J. Liddell earlier. They do. They have a reputation.
Well, a rivalry is one thing, right. And the rivalry with Illinois goes back to the Bruce Pearl days as an assistant coach at Iowa, the Deion Thomas situation, and the Illinois assistant who had clashes, and maybe it began before then. I don't know. But a rivalry is one thing. What went on apparently yesterday, last night, is quite another.
Right. Yeah. 1972, checking in again, 319-366-1600. You have not brought up how Kofi thought he was at a dance party down in the paint. I mentioned that briefly. And again, this goes to the officiating side of things, and referring to Kofi Coburn taking numerous steps. Again, we're sitting at home. I was in my recliner, and you were at your house watching this. And yeah, we saw that. The officials didn't. For whatever reason, they didn't see it. They didn't call it, or they chose not to call it. I can't answer for Courtney Green or any of the other officials last night as to why they allegedly, supposedly, let Kofi Coburn get away with
it. As I was watching the game, I didn't think much of it.
There were times where I thought, you know, I saw it, but maybe the officials didn't determine it wasn't traveling. I don't know. Like, I'm not the official. I can't answer for that. I saw it. I thought I saw it too. I saw people complaining about it on Twitter, but I don't have an answer for it. If they don't call it and no one asks the official about it through maybe a pool reporter or whatever at the site, we don't know. You know, and again, you have to, as a team, you have to counteract what your opposing team does. I mean, that's just basic game strategy. You know, you have a big guy like Kofi Coburn. He's hard to neutralize. And I thought Iowa did a decent job for most of the night. And he finished with, 21-14?
He's a great player.
He's a great player. You got to give him credit. But yeah, you know, I saw people complaining about that. I thought I saw it a number of times. At least a handful of times, but they didn't call it, so we can't really, you know, say that was the deciding factor in the game, because it wasn't. Again, free throws. 9-0 run going into halftime for the Illini. Those are all, at least my takeaways.
Yeah, spot on.
As to why they lost the game.
1074, who happens to be the father of Cornell star Cooper Caballo, revisiting the incident that Cornell encountered at Washington U in St. Louis over the weekend. It was totally unprovoked. Father said the coach for Washington U had no idea and didn't know until the next day, until he was talking to Coach Slaybaugh. So,
okay. Well,
fans acted on their own, apparently.
Yeah. That's sad. It really is. I mean,
Cooper and others were unharmed.
Right.
Yeah.
We got to get better. We've got to get better as a society, as sports fans. We got to get better. Simple as that.
Yeah, I really agree with you, and there's no place for it, but we continually have these incidents, as we did in the Iowa wrestling meet against Wisconsin, as we did last night at Illinois. It's going to happen again.
There's the Penn State wrestling meet where allegedly someone threw a
beer can.
It's going to happen again. Don't want to see it happen again, but, you know, it's going to happen again. 87-21. Let's get the officials to have their own press conference after the game.
That is not a bad idea.
It's not. Well, you'd think especially in, you know.
I think one official meets with a pool reporter. Maybe that's just the NCAA tournament.
I thought you had to request it. I've never covered an NCAA tournament outside of I've covered the D3 NCAA tournament before, like one game. But beyond that, I've never been high level, you know, NCAA tournament before. So I couldn't tell you either way as to what the process is. I believe you have to request officials in most cases.
Okay, I don't want to speak out of turn.
I don't either, but maybe That's my homework assignment for tonight. I'll look that up for tomorrow's show. But there's got to be some, you know, accountability held. Especially when there's, I know that when there is a, like, you've seen that with egregious, like, calls that have impacted games before. There have been pool reporters who ask questions of the official.
Mm-hmm.
But there's never, like, an official's press conference. So I can't answer for that. Either, but it's not a bad idea.
I've been out of the loop in terms of a beat reporter for a while. I did cover Iowa. I covered Iowa State. I don't remember ever interviewing an official after a game.
No.
But times are different now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure someone who is close to the situation can answer that.
319-366-1600, 350. Spent most of the time talking Iowa-Illinois follow-up from that one. We'll explore more about that tomorrow and break down more of the bracket. But the Hawkeyes are the fifth seed, taking on either number 13 seed Nebraska, who's red hot down the stretch here, or number 12 seed Northwestern. Iowa will play around 1 o'clock or so. 12:55 is the estimated time. But you can check that out on BTN coming up on Thursday. We got to talk some Iowa wrestling before we wrap it up here today. Take a quick time out back after this. It's the Gym Class on KGYM.
We had a significant foundation settling issue at our residential property, and we needed money fast to fix it, and Midwest One Bank came to our rescue.
We're talking with Brian Kirschling about Midwest One Bank.
Midwest One Bank helped us secure a home equity loan in order to remedy the situation. Your home is your most valuable asset, and Midwest One Bank gave us peace of mind, and Midwest One Bank was there when we needed them.
Midwest One Bank, simply better banking. Loan subject to credit approval. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Back at 3:52 here on the Gym Class, KGYM. Spencer and Mark with you for a Monday afternoon. Todd and Alex on the way next. They will be with you from 4 until 6 here on KGYM. Full show for them today as well. John Walters, voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, will join them just after 4:30. I believe Kennington Smith from the Des Moines Register will stop by with them after 5:30 today. And they've got another chance to win tickets as well. We had our giveaway earlier in the show, which will continue all week with George Thorogood and the Destroyers. They have tickets to see Breaking Benjamin along with Seether, Starset, and Lacey Sturm at the Alliant Energy Powerhouse on May 6th. They've got pairs of tickets all week long, so listen between 4 and 6 for your chance to win those tickets right here on KGYM. 3:52, Mark, we spent a lot of time on basketball, but it was a big weekend for wrestling, especially for the Hawkeyes. Also Iowa State, Northern Iowa, too. They were in the Big 12 championships down in Oklahoma. Hawkeyes just one conference champion, but it was a notable achievement for the bowl.
Yes, fourth Big 10 championship for Alex Marinelli, and a guy who we talk to every Wednesday, Mark Ironside, can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
But Marinelli prevailing for the fourth time. Iowa had four finalists, two of whom medically forfeited.
Mm-hmm.
12 medical forfeits in all in the Big Ten championships, four of them by Iowa wrestlers. Michigan wins its first national championship or Big Ten championship since 1973 by a point and a half over Penn State. And we're going to talk a lot more in depth about this tournament with Mark Ironside on Wednesday. The medical forfeits have been a subject mm-hmm. of conversation. Iowa coach Tom Brands said, well, it's not Detroit, which is this year's site mm-hmm. of the NCAA championships. And Brands evidently wanted his wrestlers, the four of them that medical forfeited, to be as healthy as possible in a couple weeks.
Yeah, Iowa with 129.5 team points Good for third, solidly ahead of Ohio State, who had 91.5. And the good news for the Hawkeyes is, Mark, they qualified all 10 to the NCAA championship. So they're going to get a chance here. They have a good showing in Detroit between the 17th and the 19th to bring home the title. And like you said, with Coach Brands, Tom Brands, it's not Detroit. It's the Big Tens. Yeah, you want to win the Big Tens, but you got the ultimate prize ahead of you. And I could definitely understand that. You know, it's certainly disappointing to see, even with the deck stacked against him with Tony Cassioppi at 285 going against Cable Stevenson. But you'd love to see those guys wrestle, but you want to keep them healthy for the national championships. I think that's totally understandable to me, right?
Yeah, and Cassioppi, I believe, tweaked a knee or an ankle or something in his leg in either the quarters or semifinals. So last thing you want to do is, for Gable Stevenson to wrench that knee and Cassioppi is out of the NCAA tournament. We've known about injuries to Ayala and Kemmerer and Ironman. Those three also medical forfeited. And, they've been in and out of the lineup. Give them a couple weeks to rest up and go for the big prize.
That'll be coming up 17th to the 19th. Like you said, Mark Ironside will join us coming up on Wednesday's show to break down the Big Ten's look ahead to the national tournament as well. Iowa State in the Big 12, Mark, finishing third in the Big 12 tournament behind Missouri, who I didn't realize came back to the Big 12 in wrestling. They came back and won the Big 12 in their first year back. Oklahoma second, Iowa State third, Oklahoma State fourth, and then Northern Iowa in even 100 team points. Eight wrestlers for the Cyclones going to the NCAAs, seven from you and I going to Detroit. So a good showing, just like with basketball, good showing all weekend long for wrestlers.
Good showing for Iowa State and you and I. Carr, three-time Big 12 champion now for Iowa State. And got a couple weeks here to think about what may happen in Detroit.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that with Mark coming up on Wednesday. Do want to remind folks of our poll question. We didn't really talk about the Big Ten bubble as of right now, but there are still three teams, according to Joe Lunardi, that are kind of on that that bubble, that kind of like in between of are they in, are they out? They could still play their way in, but they can play their way out for sure. So the question at KGYMradio.com, which Big Ten men's team would you most like to see get into the NCAA tournament? Michigan, Rutgers, or Indiana? Michigan still, according to Joe Lunardi, with a bye, the last team with a bye. Rutgers is one of the final four teams in, per Joe Lunardi. And then Indiana is the last team out, or the first team out, I should say, in the NCAA tournament as of today. So some work to be done there. Yeah. Which team would you like to see?
Hart says Rutgers. Head says Michigan. Indiana is a distant third.
Yeah.
In my mind, I think Michigan, handled Ohio State pretty well yesterday. But it's been such an up-and-down team.
And Michigan and Indiana play each other in the Big Ten tournament, first or second-round action. So that team's going to mean game is going to mean a lot to both those teams going forward. And I think Indiana with a loss, I think they would be solidly out of the tournament. Rutgers, again, it depends. If Iowa were to advance into that matchup and Iowa were to beat Rutgers, does that push Rutgers out? With all the quality wins they've had, it'd be interesting to see if Rutgers does get left out. But it's going to come into focus here very
a lot yet to get sorted out.
That is true. Mark, tomorrow we've got John Steppe from the Gazette joining us at 3:30. We'll talk Hawkeye sports, specifically women's basketball and the NFL Combine. I believe he was doing double duty. I saw a bunch of articles from him over the weekend covering both going on in Indianapolis. So we'll check in with John coming up tomorrow on the show. We'll talk to you then.
Talk then.
3:58 here at KGYM. Thanks for joining us on the Gym Class. Todd and Alex are coming up here in just moments from 4 until 6. Podcast available at KGYMradio.com.